Our theme tonight, I'm going to use a poem from Rumi that I really love, and it goes like this. Sit, be still, and listen, because you're drunk and we're at the edge of the roof. If you watch what's been going on in the United States over the last month, it's pretty unpleasant to watch, and there are several things happening at once, so let me just unpack some of them. First of all, we're having a governance debate about who runs our executive branch. Is it the president and the cabinet, or is it the deep state? Kucinich did an interview this week that's really terrific. It's up on the under top picks. And he did a fabulous job. Kucinich, having been a congressman from Ohio and really very knowledgeable about the U.S. government, he said this is not about the president. It's about whether we're a democracy or we're going to let the deep state control. Let me read you some of the quotes from the interview. It was on Fox News with Sean Hannity. Kucinich said that the deep state within the bureaucracy is trying to destroy Donald Trump's presidency. He said there is a politicization of intentionally nonpartisan agencies that has resulted in leaks to the press and a threat to the republic. Kucinich called the damaging leaks against Trump a clear and present danger to the American way of life. He called on the anonymous leakers to have the courage to name themselves. Our first allegiance is to our country, he added. Our country itself is under attack from within. Mike Huckabee credited Kucinich with ignoring the majority of his fellow Democrats and speaking out on the crisis in a nonpartisan way. Kucinich is right. The question is whether the deep state's going to tell the president what to do or the president's going to be the president. Second, there is a never-ending financial coup. It continues. And much of what is happening is a distraction so that we don't engage in the conversation. How come there's not enough money for healthcare? How come there's not enough money for tax reform? How come there's not enough money for infrastructure and all the things we need to do? Nobody wants to talk about that because then they'd have to say, well, where's the $6.5 trillion that went missing in 2015 from the Department of Defense? I put up a commentary this week on James Comey called All You Need to Know About James Comey. Forget what Comey said or did not say or do about Hillary Clinton or Trump or any related sort of scandals or investigations thereof. Comey completely ignored the fact that $6.5 trillion went missing in 2015 from the Department of Defense. Now, Comey is the former general counsel of Lockheed Martin that ran the systems and payment systems, we believe it, or significant ones at the Department of Defense, and the fact that he did absolutely nothing, that works out to about $20,000 plus per American. So that's a great deal of money, and that sort of tells you everything you need to know. It's now very clear, however, though, that the Washington establishment and corporate media really don't want to make America great again. They really couldn't care less. Quite the contrary, they make money from liquidating America. They make money on debt, crime, and war. And they intend to liquidate America to make their empire and themselves great. And they really just don't care. Part of the problem is, and you can see this when you compare our society to Japan and China, we basically have lawyers and weapon makers and entertainers, and they have engineers. So our brand relative to China is declining daily, and it's very hard for someone like me to watch because I'm watching an entire society fail because they have a lot more people who make money and succeed by making rules for others as opposed to building things. Okay, so there's a third thing that's going on, and that is the fake news is getting even worse. Hard to believe, but all week long I've been reading what are continuous flat-out lies in some of the largest newspapers. So James Comey, former head of the FBI, says A, Trump says it's not true, the truth is B, and then Comey's statement is treated as though it's the truth, even though the rules are, unless you can get corroboration, you have to say it's an allegation and present both sides, but they're not bothering to do that. Even more baffling is the Washington Post got an anonymous source that Trump said X. Now it's anonymous. It's not even somebody's willing to go on the record. Meantime, Trump, McMaster, Tillerson all said Trump didn't say that. Trump didn't say X. So you have the Secretary of State, the National Security Advisor, and the president saying the president didn't say that. But the Wall Street Journal puts a headline saying, Trump did it as if it was a fact. It's not a fact at all. Now, if you look at what happened, the leak itself was what compromised national security. And it's very much projective identification. They're doing what they accuse Trump of doing, but he's not doing it. They're doing it. And the conclusion you realize when you see it is they couldn't care less about national security. It's a show, it's an entertainment, it has nothing to do with reality, and they really don't care about reality. And the effort to continue to try to reduce and marginalize independent media is really very strong. It's, they're reverse engineering the mistakes they feel they made last year by allowing any kind of independent media. It's a serious effort for what I call mind-controlled nation in the wrap-up scenarios for the annual wrap-up. Then Roger Ailes died this week. He'd been forced out of Fox with the sexual harassment charges. I believe his death is very suspicious. My guess is there's an 80% chance his death might have been impacted or facilitated covertly. So they made it easy for him to fall. Believe it or not, the tools and techniques exist to do that. He fell in his home a week ago and died from the repercussions of that. But there are many, many ways they can facilitate that. I just think Roger Ailes knew too much, and he certainly knew about what's going on and what they're up to in terms of cleansing the media. This is all very odd for me because I was furious when Donald Trump first started to run as a primary candidate. I was furious that anyone would take him seriously. If you're from New York, the thought of Trump becoming president is very heinous to you because my attitude is he's quite the bully. However, the reality is, if you look at how things played out, clearly I voted for him and supported him against Clinton, convinced that the system was so corrupt that anything was better than same old, same old. So, but for whatever reason, Trump became the president, and he is the president. And after scores of situations, I found that Trump and his team are much more reliable than any of the national newspapers and TV networks, to my shock and amazement. Although some of his team is quite capable, so in that sense, it doesn't surprise me. So at this point, I get my news from the White House or the agencies or the actual language in executive orders or draft legislation or press statements. So whether it's the written language formally put out or the executive branch political appointees, I find them infinitely more reliable than the corporate news. Now it's interesting. Apparently, Obama has been quoted as saying that Trump is a bullshitter, and this is a perfect example of the sort of cultural clash we're watching. Trump's a promoter. He's a showman. He's a salesman, and he's trying to promote a vision of America's great again. And I don't find that to be bullshitting. I do think he's a bullshitter. But if you look at Obama, Obama ran around the world promising hope, and then gifted a generation's retirement savings to the banks and proceeded to justify it, which has to be the greatest package of bullshitting in the history of Western civilization, pardon my use of swear words. And it's as though Obama can't make the connection, So this all seems to be about process and style. If your process and style is well-mannered and gracious, then it's okay to give away a generation's retirement savings to the banks, and that's not bullshitting. But, sort of being a promoter and weaseling around like Trump can do, that's bullshitting, which tells me, this establishment is so corrupt that it can't even look in the mirror, it can't even see itself. Okay, so issue number one was the governance debate. Issue number two is we've got a distraction away from the never-ending coup. issue number three is the fake news is getting noticeably worse. The next issue is please don't get gaslighted. I'm amazed at how many people are falling prey to the shriekometer. First of all, the chances of impeachment currently are very small. Not to say that there aren't some parties trying to increase the chances by persuading you that it's possible, but right now it's highly unlikely. The second thing is, if you get mad at the president for having to tolerate the shrinking, you know, then you're the problem, not the president. The test of whether or not somebody's cleaning out corruption is the level of the shrinking. If they're shrinking, it means their cash flows are being cut off and they're being threatened. Of course they're shrinking. So if you have no tolerance for the shrinking, then apparently you don't want to clean up the swamp. But don't think that, you know, that this is somehow Trump's fault and you know, it shows he's doing a bad job. If you want a clean and easy cleaning of the swamp, there ain't no such thing. Now, the shriekometer and the power lines are two very different things. So you can hear shrinking all day long, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything to the power lines. You've got to connect the dots. If you want news on the White House, you know, best the shriek, just ignore the shriekometer and read the news at the White House or the agencies. If you want corporate coverage of the White House, probably the best thing and the least shrieky is Reuters. When it comes to D.C. political coverage at this point, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, and the TV networks are, with rare exception, completely useless. Anyway, just keep asking how the money works. I did a book review of a book called Shattered on the Clinton Campaign. And I recommend that review to you. It's a perfect example of how many people in the shriekometer have no idea how the money works, and you don't want to be, you don't want to fall into that category. So keep asking yourself how the money works. Okay, next issue: navigating the madness. I think when I talk with people, when I'm at lunches, when I talk with subscribers, I hear that you're more and more concerned that you're basically staying sane, but so many of the people around you are not, and they don't seem to see what's going on, whereas you do. Here's the tragic situation we're in. We have a world where there's tremendous effort with propaganda and sort of very powerful technology to talk people into an official reality that's further and further divorced from reality. And it's, you're getting sort of a madness going. Some of it is induced. Some is just the blowback from the so much effort to induce madness and to rig markets that literally the establishment has also forgotten what's real. So each one of us has two choices. We can go mad with the crowd, or we can remain sane and coherent. But that means we're going to have to learn to navigate a society where many people are mind-controlled and we're not, or we're less susceptible. So each one of us needs to learn to ignore the madness and create what you can with the people around you who also do not go mad. There are plenty of them, but you have to find them. One of the really nice things about my life is I travel around the world and go from lunch to lunch, meeting lots and lots of them. So if all of the Solarius subscribers were ever to get together in one place, there'd be a lot of energy. Anyway, focus on the people who are not going mad and invest in them, and stop trying to persuade the others who've gone mad to sort of come back to sanity. If they see you and the other people who haven't gone mad, having fun and making progress, they'll come back around. That's your best shot. Okay, finally, trench warfare. Don't ever think that what's happening is hopeless, because this really is trench warfare. And it is exceptionally important that you keep supporting the good guys in the play. There are many good members of Congress. There are many good people in state and local government. You need to keep dialoguing with them. You need to keep supporting them. Just pick out one or two and just support them. Think small. And think as small as you want to think, but you need to get something done that's positive, and you need to keep doing the positive thing. Whenever I hear cynicism and sarcasm, to me, it's a symptom of powerlessness, and that's not a state of mind or state of being that you want to embrace. So gather your power, even if it means you only sit and be still as the crowd goes mad. If you want to do something really good this week, up in Top Picks, there's a link to an article called Where All Tenant Farmers Oregon Plans to Douse Azure Standard Organic Farm and Pesticide. And it's about something you can take 5 minutes to do. You can email their county and see if you can't support Azure Farm. It's a really good thing to do. I sent my email right away. Anyway, the good news on all of this is it's the summer. It's time to go to the mountains or the beach and read a good book. So it will be a long, hot summer, but feel free to ignore all the shriekometer.